The weather is getting warmer here in Boston, finally, and I'm sure wherever you are in the world, you guys experience the same thing. The second the sun comes out, the second it gets warm, everyone says goodbye to jackets and sweaters and starts wearing spring and summer fits for the rest of time. I don't care if it gets rainy. I don't care if it gets colder again. I'm in spring and summer fits because I'm standing in my power. And I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul this year because it just felt fitting with a new era. And obviously, I want high quality pieces, but I don't want to spend a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and now I have a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. Because these are high quality pieces, they're staying in my wardrobe. The best part is that all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands, and they even show you on the website how much you're saving, which is awesome. Quince partners directly with top factories, cutting out the costs of the middleman and passes those savings on to us. I recently got a really, really nice linen set of like pants and a short sleeve button up, both in white linen, which is awesome. And I know they're gonna be my staple all spring and all summer. So get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/goals for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. quince.com/goals to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/goals. I know everyone has memories of cracking open some wonderful pistachios. I used to always throw a bag of the classic roasted, salted, wonderful pistachios in the cart when I was grocery shopping growing up. And I remember always having a bowl going in the kitchen while cracking them open. Roasted Salted is still my classic, but recently I've been trying all the flavors, and I must say, even though I love in-shell pistachios for the activity of cracking them open, Wonderful Pistachios, no shell, salt and vinegar might just be my new favorite.
Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. There's 6 grams of protein per 1 ounce serving. That's packing a protein punch. Chili roasted, honey roasted, sea salt and pepper, jalapeno lime. There are so many flavors to try out, and Wonderful Pistachios has become one of my favorite snacks recently. I need my snacks to be a good source of protein, and I love when I can eat snacks with my hands. It's easy, it's fun. What more can you ask for?
I also really like using the no-shell pistachios from Wonderful Pistachios to put on salads or rice bowls. Spring and summer salads are going to be so good. I can't wait to add the jalapeno lime ones to a fresh salad, and I've been using the chili roasted flavor on top of rice bowls recently. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more and find out where you can get Wonderful Pistachios near you.
Hi, Liv. Welcome to Girls with Goals. We're so excited to have you.
Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for having me.
For everyone listening who doesn't know Liv Stone, we would love for you to just introduce yourself to our listeners before we get talking.
Cool. Okay. So a little bit about me, guys. I'm 21 years old. I live in Oceanside. I have an upper limb difference with 2 fingers on each hand. So I do a lot of like disability awareness content. And I'm also a surfer. I'm a 3-time parasurf world champion. So I'm a competitive surfer as well as just free surfer. Love being out in nature. Love sharing just love and positivity on Instagram because I feel like there can be a lot of hate out there. So just trying to be a light to some people.
Yeah, that's so awesome. We're 21 as well. So kind of
in this perfect
boat. Yeah. So are you also in school?
Yeah, so I'm studying at SNHU, Southern New Hampshire University, but it's all online, so I'm not there. Are you really?
Well, yeah, we're from New Hampshire. I didn't say that. I said we were just outside of Boston, but we're actually, we're like Portsmouth, New Hampshire.
Oh, what? That's so awesome. Yeah, no, I've literally never been to the campus because it's all online, but yeah. I heard it's like super cool there. So you guys are going to SNHU?
No, we both go to school in Boston, but we're in New Hampshire, yeah. So we just are home for the summer. I honestly don't know where the campus is, but I mean, you're like our town in New Hampshire. It's a small, like, surfy town, so.
Yeah, I've never been to, like, New England area. I'm from Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. So I mean, that's not, I guess it is kind of New England, but I don't know if Pennsylvania really counts. Yeah. But I've been like up there. It looks really beautiful.
Yes. Oh, well, I love that. A lot of our listeners are also like either students or in their 20s. So I always love when we're able to have guests on that are like in that age range. I think it's just so much more relatable and inspiring. So your limb difference that you mentioned, that's something that you were born with. So is obviously just like how you have always experienced life. I'm curious what your perspective on that was like as a kid and how that maybe has changed throughout your life.
Yeah, well, so a lot of times when I say congenital limb difference, people are like congenital. And then so I just, Like, yeah, I was just born this way. Like, because a lot of people with disabilities, it was like maybe an accident or something. So I was just born like this. I don't know any differently. So when I was younger, it just shaped who I am in the sense of like, I just figured it out. Like, it was the way I was. Nothing was going to change. And I didn't know any differently. So I just had to learn things that looked a little differently than anyone else, like tying shoes or rock climbing and doing stuff in gym or school. And so I just learned to do some stuff differently. And I think when I was really young, I struggled a lot with like self-identity. I mean, I think every girl does, especially like at a young age. Like I was just talking to my mom, like that 8th grade through 9th grade is like the worst for like any girl. And then also having a limb difference on top of that, a disability and looking different than everyone else. I definitely had, I feel like, a lot more hurdles to overcome. But yeah, so I don't know if that answered it.
Oh
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
absolutely. I think, self-confidence is something that every person, and I think especially like every girl in those earlier years of life, but also just like I feel like in any stage of life, like any transitional thing, like high school, college,
Definitely.
young adult, like anything, it's kind of like figuring out your self-identity is something that everyone deals with. And so having something that might make you feel differently than other people is obviously just an extra hurdle. But at least from everything that I see from you online, you seem like such, a go-getter, someone who's not really kind of let anything stop you and very ambitious. What has that journey with like self-confidence looked like? Do you think you've always had that kind of intrinsic level of confidence, or is it something that was also had to build up over time?
Yeah, no, it definitely, I was not always like this for sure. Like I said, I dealt with a lot of insecurities. And I grew up, it's weird because I grew up with two older brothers and they always treated me like I wasn't different than anyone else and kind of they shaped me for sure into who I am today as like a strong woman, but I had to get there. I wasn't always like between like 12 and like 17, I like hated that I had a disability because I was different than everyone else. And like, I'm trying to like fit in and find myself. And I mean, I think we're all still finding ourselves, but it was definitely like this transition of becoming like to love myself. For example, like I used to hide my arms in a lot of my pictures, like on Instagram. And like, that's when social media really took off and everyone's posting like this perfect shot of her, like you and your friends. And like, I would, in a lot of my pictures, I would just like hide my arms behind my back, which is like stupid because it made it look even more weird now that I look back at it. I didn't want to look different than everyone else. And I think over time, like learning how to surf and moving out to California, like my whole journey has, each step has shaped me who I am today and has made me more and more confident. Every time I travel by myself or I do a photo shoot that makes me feel like super badass, like it just steps over time and I'm still not 100% there. I don't know if anyone ever will be. It's a learning process that I've just figured out over time and it's a lot of like ebb and flow. Like you feel really good about it, you feel really good about your body and then it's like no. I'm convinced it's like menstrual related, but it's like you
Oh,
feel good
same.
and then you don't, and then you feel good. So it's like this process, but definitely way better than when I was younger.
No, that's so true. I always say I'm like, there's like 1 month out of every, I mean, 1 week out of every month where suddenly I'm like, oh, I just turned ugly. Like everything
No, literally,
happens.
literally last week, I was like, Mom, I'm gaining weight. And
Yeah.
she's like, not really. Like, I'm like, no, I'm heavy. And I'm like, and then I like look at myself, I'm like, no, I'm not.
You just feel it though. Yeah.
Yeah, you definitely do. And like, I was just talking to my friend, like, I feel like menstrual cycles really relate to everything that you're feeling. Like, you could be like, oh, I just am not having a good day. And then like, you look at your like cycle map and you're like, oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Oh my God. I just read a book and I'm trying to remember what it was even called. I like hate that I can't remember, but it was a book like on hormone health and kind of talking about how it connects to everything. Oh, okay, so like everything makes sense.
Yeah,
It's
exactly, for
like
sure.
your physical like energy levels, your mental health, your like even like digestion and everything is
And
just
there are
so effective.
a lot of people who like cycle sync, which is not something I've ever learned enough about to do, but I'm not obviously like not against it because it makes sense. Is that like where they use like a thermometer to track their cycle?
I
Like they
think
take their temperature?
that's like natural cycles.
Oh
Like
yeah, they're
cycle sy cycle syncing is, you know, I think people do use a thermometer. It's just like make sure they're accurate and where they think they're at. But it's like, oh, this week I'm in this phase, so I'm gonna do this, and like, 'cause I have high energy, I'm gonna go weightlift
It's kind of
and
like
run.
syncing your lifestyle to like
Yeah.
different phases.
Oh, that's really cool. I've never
Yeah.
even heard of that.
There's a
It
whole
is, yeah.
philosophy out there about
It's
it, and
really
like,
cool, but personally, I just don't think I can think through or like plan my life enough for that. You know what I mean?
it's, yeah. And I feel like I'm always different. Like, for example, maybe this is too personal, but whatever. So like last month, or no, a couple weeks ago, my hands started getting like really hot and my feet. And I'm like hotter than my head, and I felt like I was getting a fever, but I wasn't. And
Yeah.
I like looked up, you know, don't ever like look up on the internet like, why am I feeling this way? Because it was like, you have high blood pressure, you need to go to the doctors. And I was
Yeah.
like, what? And then I like got my period the next day, like, and it's just so random, like, yeah. So I definitely think it's all related, and guys need to sometimes give us a break because we're going through a lot.
So true. Yeah. I mean, confidence is one of the biggest things, even if we're not trying to talk about confidence on the show. We always
Yeah.
go back to confidence because it is such a foundational, you know, habit to have and to build, so that no matter what you're feeling, you have that as a baseline. And so even
Exactly.
are like, oh my God, I woke up and I'm ugly and I'm so weird and can't do anything and I need to hide. Like, you at least have some sort of baseline that you can talk yourself down a little bit. But we always talk
Definitely.
about this recipe for confidence. So for us, we've said that includes trusting yourself, it includes respecting yourself, having some self-compassion. So confidence, at least in the ways that we talk about it, isn't necessarily something that can acquire. It's not its own thing. It's a, you know, conglomerate of a bunch of different things that you hold with
Oh,
yourself.
that's really cool. I
Yeah.
love that. I was just talking to my friend the other day, and I was like, you know, we go through all these ups and downs and ebbs and flows, psycho related or just life in general, and feeling like you're not enough or feeling like you're great. And like confidence is that like horizon. Like when I'm surfing, there's like always a horizon, even if it's choppy and I'm going like this and all up and down the waves. It's like confidence. If you always have that, you can come back to it. It's like your horizon, your steady line. I was talking with my friend that like my boyfriend's like my horizon because I'm like up and down and up and down, and he's my steady.
Yeah. So what would, beyond him, what would you say are your key drivers for confidence, or what would be your recipe for confidence?
I would say my mom for sure. She's like my best friend, and she, like, when I'm feeling down, I talk to her about a lot. Like, we're best friends. And, you know, when I don't feel like myself or I'm feeling like a lot of lack of confidence, she is like my number one supporter. So I feel like I can always go to her for her to like build me up and make me feel better. It's like kind of bring me back to center of like really realizing who I am. And then also surfing, like I always come back to it. It's like whenever I go out in the water, it brings me back to center, and I'm like, no, with whatever's going on in my crazy life, or like if I'm super stressed about something or down or sad, I can go out into the water and like forget about it all. And then like I come out of the water back to the beach, and I just feel like, oh, there was really nothing crazy. Like everything's gonna be okay.
Yeah, I want to talk about surfing because I saw that you didn't start surfing until like a little bit later into your life more recently. So
Yeah.
how did that start for you? What was like your first experience with surfing, and what do you think about it sparked, you know, such a passion to become a professional?
Yeah, so I started when I was like 15, and I feel like that's so old because some groms out there, those little kids are
Yeah.
like 6 years old, ripping harder than I ever will. So I definitely got a later start. My first, well, I grew up in Pennsylvania, and my first experience was in California. I kept coming to California for different surfing events, like adaptive surfing events. So different clinics, and people would be there in the water with you, helping you. I mean, the whole nine yards of learning on a foam top and learning how to wax a board and everything, and like getting embraced by the surfing culture. And I think coming out to the West Coast and seeing that surfing is a lot of people's homes and a lot of people's happy place. And I'm like, I could totally see myself doing that. And I think I just worked really hard. Like over the years, I would go to Jersey Coast when I was like 15, 16, To train on weekends. And then I got connected with a coach, and then just kind of like a snowball effect of things clicking into place over months and months and years. And then we moved out when I was 16 to California, for 4 months so that I can train, see if like I really like it, because I felt like in my heart that it was something that came really naturally to me. I grew up playing sports, and played soccer for like 10 years, but it was something that I always had to work so hard at, and I was just never naturally good at it. Like some athletes, you're like, wow, you're born with like that gift. And I never felt like that growing up. And then with surfing, I'm like, I feel like I could be really good at this. And it's more than just a sport, it's like a lifestyle, and I love that lifestyle. And when we moved out, I just trained really hard, got some competition wins under my belt, and kind of just build momentum over time. And then now we've been here like 4 years. So 4 months of a trial run turned into 4 years. And then I started going to school out here, and I found like my community of people that I love out here.
What drove you to originally go to, I think you said like an adaptive surfing clinic or camp or whatever it was? Were you like experimenting with a lot of different like community events, and surfing just happened to be one of them that clicked, or was it just like a one-off?
So when I was like 12 or 13, I went to, or maybe earlier, I went to my first camp called Camp No Limits in Maryland. And that was with a lot of different kids with disabilities, like wheelchairs or prosthetics or people very similar to me. And so I was around people like me for the first time in my life. And that was like super transforming, because I was like, I'm not alone. Like, because I grew up in a small town, so I always felt like I was the only one in the world with a disability. So when I went to that camp, I got connected with other athletes, and they said, oh, you should chat with CAF, Challenge Athletes Foundation. And that's who ran like the surf clinics, like two or three surf clinics that I went to on the West Coast. They had like invited me to come out. Hey, like, I think you should try this. And I'm like, surfing? Like, heck yeah. But not my first time. My first time surfing was with Bethany Hamilton at one of her retreats. So I first surfed with her, and then CAF is like who really got me into the sport, engrossed in surfing and everything that it encompasses. So yeah, that's how it happened. Like CAF, Challenge Athletes Foundation, invited me out to different surf clinics, and I kind of just went. And also, like, I love California, and who doesn't like want to go to California and surf? I
Absolutely.
just didn't realize it would turn into like the rest of my life.
Yeah, that's awesome. I know obviously having a community of, other kids with disabilities, especially growing up when that was not who you were surrounded by, but obviously they weren't super into surfing, and now you've grown into an incredible surfer, whereas, maybe that was other people's just daily activity. So
Yeah.
meeting Bethany Hamilton and being able to surf with her on a tree, I know obviously you guys have different disabilities. She was not born with her disability, and she still has one arm.
Yeah.
But seeing someone surf and kind of learning from someone who you can see yourself in, how did that kind of shape your experience and passion for it?
Yeah, I feel like she really fostered my love for surfing as well. Like, big mentor of mine and friend, and she absolutely rips. So I'm like, I want to be able to surf well and confident like she can. And so yeah, having her in my corner, helping like what adaptations I should use and X, Y, and Z. So that was really great. And then also I just feel like I leaned a lot on like my dad and family to help me out with a lot. My dad is the one who came up with wearing the paddles on my hands, or we're supposed to call them aquatic prosthetics. So the aquatic prosthetics, because paddles are like the kayak paddles, they're not like quite
I see.
that.
Did you have to to find your groove with those? Did you have to try a few different, types of adaptations, or what was the process there?
Yeah, like I tried to put a rope, or not a rope, a handle on my board, and like that didn't work at all. For like 6 months I tried to surf without prosthetics when I was first learning, and like I wasn't getting anywhere. Like, I wasn't paddling fast enough, I wasn't pulling enough water, and I'm like, something needs to like change here. Like, I could barely grab the rails anyway, so it's not like my grip would be like changed or anything. I remember distinctively we were on our way home to Pennsylvania, and my dad and I were sitting in the airport. And you know, you just like end up talking because you're sitting there for hours. And he was like, "What if we attach something to your hand for you to be able to pull water?" And he like looked up basically what a swim paddle would be. And I was like, "Yeah, like I need to try that." And so when I used that first model that I was using, it was like night and day. I felt so much faster. I felt more powerful and strong. And then obviously those paddles have changed over the years into just different shapes and sizes and everything to really help me like even the playing field as much as I could have with someone with a longer arm.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah.
So there wasn't obviously like a blueprint for
yeah
me to do it. Everybody kind of figures it out on their own. And the other people that you surf with in that community who, you know, have other adaptations to work with, is it kind of similar? Like they've all kind of figured it out on their own as well?
Yeah, 100%. Like my friend Parker, he rides prone because he has cerebral palsy. So he doesn't stand up. He like lays down and has like put a lot of like traction deck pads on his the front of his board and the back of his board to keep his legs together. Like there's, and that's so much different than what I do. And so he just like figures it out. And my other friend ties their feet together so that they don't, because she's paralyzed, so that they don't like swing out when she surfs. So like there's just so many different types of things, which is really rad.
Surfing has obviously become something you said you weren't expecting it to become the rest of your life or be something that you were so passionate about when you first, you know, hopped in the water and started doing it, even though you were interested in it. Was there anything prior to surfing that sparked the same passion for you? Or was that feeling, you know, kind of the first time that you feel like you found something that made you feel like you had that autonomy over it?
Yeah, I think honestly surfing was it for me. I played soccer for a while, like I said, and I loved it. I played for a really long time and was committed to it. And it did make me feel like, great, I'm super competitive and I loved being a part of a team. And so I do kind of miss that team aspect because surfing is individual. So you like, yes, soccer, but it's so much less than the feeling I had with surfing. But I can't really think of anything else, to be honest. Yeah, it's pretty much just surfing. And now that I've gotten older, I will add, like, when I was younger, I really didn't know, like, who I was, like, everyone. And once I found surfing, I feel like it opened up a lot of doors for me as I've gotten older and, like, given me the confidence to explore other things than just surfing. Like, in my social media, I don't just post about, like, surfing because I feel like I'm not just a surfer. And so I feel like I've had those passions and aha moments with other things in my life. Like I love cooking and I love nature and studying wildlife.
Do you want to learn a new language? Maybe for an upcoming trip, maybe to better connect with friends who speak other languages, maybe you just want a new skill. Rosetta Stone is going to help get you there. When talking about Rosetta Stone, I always think about when we were maybe 5 years old and our dad started traveling to China for work. He used Rosetta Stone for Mandarin, and obviously Carolyn and I would use it too, especially when we found out that we were going to move to Asia. That is such a core memory for me, and I can so vividly remember speaking into the computer, listening to the audio and like matching it so vividly. And the best thing about Rosetta Stone is that Rosetta Stone offers a lifetime membership. So you can buy the program now and get forever access to all the lessons, all the languages, forever. So I've been using this lifetime membership to pick back up my Mandarin, and let me tell you, Rosetta Stone is incredible. The way that it is so immersive has me back to being confident in my Mandarin so quickly, and you can even start from scratch. Of course, they have 25 languages to learn, and it's immersive. You learn it naturally, and you should definitely check it out. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Girls with Goals listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
You know what I don't miss at all? The vicious week before your period where you just want to crawl out of your skin, not able to keep up a routine or maintain healthy habits. Because personally, I just lose all steam. I feel
down or just super off, and that's why Happy Mammoth has been so helpful these past few months. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it truly shows. Happy Mammoth has what you need for gut health, hormone balancing, detoxification, anti-aging, beauty, mood, clarity, sleep, and even a really comprehensive quiz that will make sure you know what products are right for you. So check out what Happy Mammoth has for you and see what you might want to try. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code GOALS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code GOALS for 15% off today.
I'd be like, yeah, surfing has given me that confidence and boost to be able to explore other things. As when I was younger, I was like, yeah, like soccer, I guess I'll play in college. Like, I don't know.
Sure.
And yeah, that makes sense.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. I think it's, I'm really glad that you brought up having, you know, other sides of yourself and sharing that, because, yeah, you know, as great as a surfer and as impactful as a surfer as you are, that is not all you are. And I think a lot of people get hung up on, you know, trying to find this one true passion or like the one single thing that, you know, they do or they are. And that's where a lot of people can maybe get discouraged or overwhelmed if they aren't finding that, because
yeah,
that's just not the case for anyone. And I know we can look at other people and judge them. Judge is the wrong word, because I don't mean that in a negative way, but you kind of,
yeah,
just snap try and understand them.
Yeah.
And it's easy to just look at someone and see them as, you know, either the one thing that you know them by or, you know, the biggest thing in their,
yeah,
life. But no one is, you know, just the one thing they do for a job or for a hobby or,
yeah,
the way you know them as. So that's,
yeah,
I'm really glad that you do share way more than just, you know, your time on the water, your competitions.
And I think like sometimes people with disabilities can be seen, especially like influencers, or I don't even like that word, but like creators with,
yeah,
disabilities can be seen as the creator with a disability or the girl with a disability or the girl with two fingers. Like that can become like their identity from the world. And that's really what I want to try and break. I would rather be like the surfer or the wildlife enthusiast, the college student, the hard worker, the inspiration, rather than, oh, like the girl with two fingers, because,
yeah,
I want to spread more of just disability, more just like lifestyle and positivity and, oh, that girl's so positive and cool and like whatnot, not just like, yeah, she has like two fingers and like she makes videos.
Yeah.
And no one remembers me like that.
I think, yeah, that goes so far as well, because, you know, there's so much more impact in like a show don't tell kind of thing. Like if you were to just get on social media and, you know, every post be just about, you know, the one thing, the surface level disability, rather,
yeah,
than when you do look at your page, you see like, you see cooking and you see you like just living your life and having, and like having such a positive attitude, and you see the surfing and you see nature, and it's like, you know, as much as you are bringing disability awareness, you do it in such a way that is relatable to even people that don't share that same experience, that may have like any other adversity or be struggling to find their passion or their confidence in life, that you just see somebody like doing everything that you're doing regardless, rather than,
yeah,
you know, just speaking on the one thing that, you know, people might pick up on immediately.
Yeah, I love that. And I've always said, like, I don't want to just inspire people with disabilities. I don't want to have this one audience of young girls with disabilities, or like, you know, young girls that were like me, like, because that's so narrow. I would rather just be able to encourage anyone who's struggling, because we all do, regardless of a disability or not, whether that's mental health, physical health, or just finding their self-identity or anything. So I'd rather be more broad than so pinpointed on like, oh, well, I just want to inspire these types of people, because I feel like life doesn't work like that. And I would rather get my story and positivity to my whole audience, and not just, yeah, if that makes sense, not just women either.
That's awesome, because that's also no fun for you. You know, you want to be sharing the things you actually do, not just sharing the things.
Not just like surfing videos all,
yeah,
the time. And it's not like people who post that are bad at all. It's just like not me. I think I would get burnt out very quickly if I posted the same thing all the time, and like the same get ready with me or the same this. It's like I like to dabble in a lot of different things, kind of see what works, see what my audience likes, what does well, what I feel passionate about, and I love making content that is showing like all aspects of my life.
For sure. I know we always talk about social media when we do talk about it, because obviously there are so many negative aspects of social media, but one of my favorite positive impacts of social media is that you can kind of take inspiration from anyone. So, you're scrolling and someone may not be a surfer, but they come across your page and they see the nature cooking or just see you living your life to the fullest, in every single aspect that you do share. And, just take that energy, or you're scrolling and you take someone's morning routine and someone else's nighttime routine or this trip or this whatever. So I think with you being able to share so much of your life, that's helpful for everyone, whether they surf or they don't surf, or whether they have a disability or don't have a disability.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
I think social media is such a weird self-identity thing to begin with, whether you're using it like from a creator's perspective or not, you just have a page, because like regardless, it's like, oh, here's my name and my profile on the first thing that everyone's like using to judge me as. And I think that, if you are narrowing yourself down so much and being so not necessarily like calculated, but like so specific and so
Yeah.
all of that about what you post on social media, I think it can, at least for me in the past, especially from a creator perspective, like if I'm only sharing about like one thing for a while, it causes this whole self-identity thing where I'm like, well, I feel like people don't see like all these other aspects of me and all of this, and I want to do all
Definitely.
that. So we haven't talked that much about your life as a creator as well, but I imagine that that's also such a big part of your life as you have been able to grow your audience. When did that start for you? When did you start sharing on social media?
My social media journey like happened around 2 years ago, I think. And then I took it more seriously when I got a manager and realized that I could actually make a living, which I never really thought that I could. I kind of was just posting for fun. And it's been a journey. Like, some days I hate it, some days I love it, because like some days I find myself scrolling for like no, not 3 hours, that's a little excessive, but scrolling like to where like your brain just like wants to explode. I'm like, why am I doing this? So I try and like get off my phone, but I'm like contributing to that. But then I'm trying to be positive and it is inspiration, but like it's like, oh, back and forth.
I have the same. Some days I'm like, oh, I'm just gonna like quit and delete all social media and drop the earth forever. And then other days I'm like,
This is
oh,
the
I
best
wanna
thing
say
ever.
this and share this and do that. I have very inspired days and very like, I wanna
Oh,
grow.
yeah. Yes, I all like get super inspired to film something and it'll actually like turn out really well. And like sometimes I'll spend so like hours on a video and then I post it and it doesn't get like what I thought it would, like the versus like for like engagement. And I'm like, oh, well, like they hate me. And I'm like, well, that's not true.
I text her like every few days and I'm like, this is flopping. Should I delete it? Should I delete everything? What's going on? Or she, no, she'll text me and be like, I just posted on Instagram, like if you could comment, thanks. And she'll be like, never mind, I delete it. I posted it again. I deleted it. I'll post it again tomorrow.
I know, like I feel like as a creator, I have like my routine, my aesthetic, my like if the thumbnail does not look right, I will delete it and like try and find something else. Like I would rather spend hours on it and to make it look like presentable, and because it is like a business for me, like I don't want it to look like I don't care about what I'm putting out there. And so I'm very particular, and my mom goes, Liv, like you, and she, because she's like always helps me with social media and stuff. She's my, we call her my executive assistant. But she's like, just like relax. It doesn't have to be the perfect video. I'm like, no, but it does. It has to be.
So, talking about passions a little bit again, for all of
Yeah.
the young girls listening who maybe are about to graduate college and like still feel like they don't know exactly what they want to do, or are in those like younger years and are kind of trying to figure it out, what would you say for somebody who feels like they haven't found that like aha moment and that thing that clicks
Right.
yet?
Yeah, well, I feel like I would encourage anyone to just know that they're not alone. Everyone goes through that stage of not knowing what to do, not knowing what you're passionate about. And I think that that's totally normal to be in like this limbo phase and to just like get out and explore and just try things, like trial and error. Yeah, like I really don't like that, or I really like that. And if you find something that you really like I'm getting into running, and I'm like, oh, I really like that. Just do it more. It makes me feel good and I like it. And I just encourage if you have some sort of pull, you'll feel that pull, that passion towards something. So just follow it. And if it ends up going well, it might be like the best experience of your life. It might like take you to beautiful, amazing places in your life. So you don't have to always have it figured out. And that's okay. 'Cause I think there's a lot of pressure out there to save as much money, buy a house, get the best job, this and that. And it's okay if you don't have everything sorted. Like life will sort itself out. And if you just keep being you, like harnessing that self-confidence and keeping your horizon steady, then like it'll work itself out.
I love that. I love the horizon metaphor.
I just came up with that. I don't know where it came from, but I like it too.
Obviously, you seem to live quite a healthy and active lifestyle with surfing, with running, with everything that you like to do outdoors, as well as your cooking and
Yeah.
nutrition. We always talk about kind of the connections between physical and mental health. So if you have anything to say about it, or that you think is relevant, in what ways do you think that having healthy habits physically has impacted your mental health as well?
Yeah, that actually is per a perfect question because just today I posted this video of me doing yoga, and the message was kind of like, you don't have to every day have the hardest workout of your life. You don't have to burn the most calories. You don't have to run the farthest or have like the best PR. You really don't. It's more about like moving your body, just getting out, moving, or enjoying nature, just getting your blood pumping and body stretched. And like, it doesn't always have to be the gnarliest of workouts. And I think like there's a lot of pressure for girls out there specifically is to like always have the most toned body. And like, that really is mentally draining to be able to always keep that up. And if you like the other day, I was like, I really don't want to work out, but I just went out and did like some yoga and some stretching and I felt better. Like, working out makes me feel better. It makes me feel like my mind's clear, but it doesn't always have to be like this new PR and this new craziness. There's a time and place for that. Like, I do push myself hard and like that feels great, but that's not reality every day. So, yeah, to just encourage just to move your body and do what feels good, because I know that when I don't work out or at least don't move at all, like I don't feel mentally right. It is very, very connected, like your physical and mental health, like you said. So just encouraging to get out and move any way that you can.
Yeah, that's so perfect. I have also seen on social media, and correct me if I'm wrong, but that you've done some work with the Challenged Athletes Foundation. So has that
Yeah.
kind of come full circle for you, like where that was kind of the organization that introduced you to surfing and a lot of opportunities to now
Yeah.
be on the other end of it?
Oh, 100%. So I've worked with them like pretty closely this past year, as an ambassador. And that partnership was just really perfect for me because they were the ones that sparked my true passion and interest in surfing. So the fact that I'm able to share my story like on their platforms, as well as go to events and be a mentor for kids, like really young kids that felt like me when I was younger, like felt like I felt like there was no one like me. Ever, a lot of people with a disability, especially when they're young, feel like that. So I am so blessed that I'm able to be that mentor for them because I didn't have that when I was really young. And I just did a swimming clinic where I helped some really young kids learn how to swim. And that was like, I love doing that. I love giving back because I feel like I would have loved that when I was really young, and I want to be able to give those kids that opportunity. And our passions just really align, and it's really cool to give back to that community.
Yeah, that
Yeah.
must be so rewarding.
Feel like for me, it's not even about whether they're going to be the next generation, but getting them out into the water and like passing on that stoke for just like being in the ocean and being happy. 'Cause like seeing their face light up when I take them out on a surfboard for the first time or whatnot, and they're like super nervous, and then they catch a wave and like their whole body changes and like glows. And that's how I felt, and I want to pass that on. And it is really rewarding because I feel like the ocean heals, like, well, it wouldn't actually heal a disability, but it does heal like self-doubt and like depression and anxiety. And I want to give that to those kids so that they always have a place to come back to, a safe place, and feel comfortable in the ocean and feel good about themselves.
Yeah, that's so powerful. I am by no means a great surfer, like anything, but I do enjoy surfing. We live on the coast of New Hampshire, and so in Catherine, lifeguards a bit in the summer, and we've like always kind of
Nice.
every once in a while and surfed, and we like to surf when we travel, but like it is not an easy thing to do. And I think that like I can totally see where people who are like, huge surfers and love it so much, like where so much of that, like getting rid of the self-doubt and confidence comes from, because the ocean, it's like finding a way to work with it is like not always easy, especially
Oh my
as a
gosh,
beginner. And like being
definitely
able to
not.
kind of feel aligned with it, I see how therapeutic that would feel.
And I always say, I came up with this motto like I think a couple years ago, but I really feel like the ocean doesn't discriminate. It doesn't matter what skin color you have, or what gender you are, or really your ability, like whether you're a beginner, intermediate, or advanced, like you have to be at the mercy of the ocean. You can't fight it. As you guys know, as lifeguards, you have to kind of get in this like energy flow of it. And when you are in that flow, like the ocean will treat you just as it, just as I say she, just as she would for everyone else, regardless of how you look. So that's what makes me feel like when I'm out in the ocean, I just feel like my disability doesn't matter. And I feel like I'm like one with nature and one with the ocean and the waves. And it can be really healing mentally. And yeah, you can't fight it at all for sure. I've been in some situations where I was like, oh my gosh, like this is super scary. Like it's so a lot of people don't realize how scary the ocean can be.
Especially when you're like, maybe there's a little rip or the wave is too big for you to handle, and you just gotta, there's no other choice than to deal with it and work with it and stay strong,
Well, and like conditions can change in minutes, and you have to change your mindset. All right, I got to get myself out of here. This is not good. It's way too big. I'm in over my head, literally. So
Right.
I gotta go.
Which that's not a good feeling on so many fronts, because one, you're like, oh my God, this is obviously scary. Like the waves are getting bigger, it's getting stronger out here. But also to accept the fact that like I gotta get myself, one, there's the pressure of like I gotta go in now. But two, if you were excited to go out and, maybe catch a few more waves if you've already been out there for a while, but to just accept that, okay, I gotta
It's
get myself in.
very humbling because like I've the worst surf sessions I have is when I go out with confidence because then the ocean's like no Liv no
No, not today. We had a different plan.
definitely.
So back onto the healthy habits. I know you talked a little bit about, your routines and your day-to-day life. One of our favorite questions to ask everyone who comes on the show, just to get a glimpse into your day-to-day life, is what does a typical day in your life look like? So if just a normal day, but if everything went exactly how you wanted it to, you got everything done, what would that look like?
Oh, I love that question. That's so cool. Okay, so I would wake up kind of early. I'm not gonna lie and be like, I wake up at 5:30 every morning. No, I definitely don't. But I'll wake up pretty early and go surfing and have a really good surf session. My mom always comes with me to the beach to film or take pictures. So she would come along with me and I would have a great few waves, even just like one really good one, because one good wave can like make the rest of my day. So I'd have a good surf session, and then after I surf, I get super hungry. So then I cook myself like a mean meal that I chow down, and then I get tired. So it's like it's surf, eat, and then sleep. So well, sometimes then maybe I'll take a little snooze, cuddle with my puppy. She's actually here right now. I just heard her snore. She's sleeping right next to me. And maybe go on a hike, maybe enjoy nature. I have a garden growing right now, so taking care of my garden, seeing what's popping up. And oh, I really love birds, so like maybe bird watching a bit. Then like I'm not much of like going out in the evenings really at all, so Mainly, my days are like settling in early, my nighttime routine, my skincare routine. I love my robe, getting all cozy and having like self-care night. Every night is self-care night. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah,
So.
and then of course, a little bit of school in there somewhere.
Oh, yeah. I'm taking the term off because I'm
Oh,
like, I
good
need a
for you.
summer because SNHU does 8 week courses. I'm like, no, like, I need to have a break. And also, my boyfriend comes in like 4 days.
Did you
So,
say he's from South Africa? Or
yeah.
he's in South Africa right now? That's so cool.
Yeah, born and raised, he comes Saturday.
Very nice. Well, that
Nice.
should be super fun. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I think there's so much that everyone listening can take from this, whether it's related to finding some confidence, finding their passions in life, or just bringing a little bit more positivity to their day today. So thank you so much, Liv. Where
Yeah.
can everyone listening find you if they want to go look you up after?
Instagram, TikTok, or YouTube, those are like my three main channels. Instagram is just Liv Stone. TikTok is Liv with 2V dot Stone, and then YouTube is just Liv Stone. So
Amazing. And we'll link
thank
that
you guys.
below. So if you guys are listening and want to go click over, you can click very easily and check out all of her great surf, nature, maybe some bird watching videos in there.
Awesome. Yeah, guys, thank you.